Father, we do thank you and praise you. Lord, the kitchen is full of people and food, and we are so blessed to be able to bless others. We only deliver what you provide, Lord. We know it all goes back to you in praise and thanksgiving. Father, use your servant here today, that he would speak boldly your word, that people would hear it and retain it and use it. And Father, we thank you for all that you've provided, the food and the clothes. We know it all comes from you. Bless it all and bless the givers, Lord. We just thank you once again, and so use this time. We pray that we would use it for your glory, Lord, and that you would be honored through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we've got Pastor Dwayne Cummings here, so he's going to give the word. Let's listen up and receive a word.
Amen. Well, God bless you. It's good to have you all here. Their heads were low, and their steps were slow, as they walked along that long Emmaus road. And as he grew near, he said, "Why are you so sad?" They said, "Sir, have you not heard? You must be a stranger in this town. 'Cause the one who came in the Father's name, he has been cut down. They've laid his body in the ground." As they walked and talked, he began to explain about this Jesus and why he came. He opened the scriptures and began to teach. The preacher of preachers, he began to preach. Wilderness for children and nothing there to eat. The manna from heaven fell down at their feet. They were dry and thirsty in a foreign land. But water came forth out of a rocky land. When these children were grown in the flame, a voice man appeared, they even called him by name. The manna, the water, the man are all the same. And if you're still confused, let me say this real plain. It was me. It was me. I'm the one you left back there at Calvary. It was me. Who do you think hung the stars in the sky? Who do you think made the day and the night? Who made the flowers and who made the trees? Who made the sun and the moon and the sea? Who gives a life to all who believe? Who then made the blind to see? Who made the very air that you breathe? Who defeated death and won the victory? It was me. It was me. I'm the one who died for you at Calvary. It was me. Who then loved you when no one else would? Who saved you when no one else could? It was me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It was Jesus.
Hallelujah.
If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, if you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles up here for free. I'm going to read from the book of Ephesians chapter 2. The book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. That's where I'm going to take my text from this morning. Over here, brother. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Over there, the blue ones.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Get a Bible. Read your Bibles. Be in the Word. When you get in the Word, you get to learn who God is.
Amen.
And the Word will change it. The Word's a living Word. That Word ain't dead. Those Bibles hold the living Word of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your rich grace and mercy that never runs out, that never ends. Pray this morning that Your Word would go forth to a dry and thirsty people. That, Father, You would speak to me and through me. Make it easy for Your servant to preach this morning, and may it be the words that come straight from the heart of God, not my thoughts or my opinions, but only the Word that comes straight from You. We love You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So if you listen to the news or follow the news on the internet or however you get your news, it's easy to see that we're living in some pretty dark days. One of the lies that Satan likes to tell us is, well, you know what? They have been saying that for so many years. We have plenty of time. He's not coming back yet. And he lies to us and he tells us those things so that we'll continue living a life of sin because, ooh, it's fun, isn't it? And we get to party and have a good time. But that's not what life is about, is it? And if you would take a moment and step back, you'd realize it's not quite the fun you thought it was. However, if you know Scripture, you know that Jesus could return at any moment. If you know anything about Scripture, if you know anything about God's Word, if you've read anything in the book of Revelations, if you've read anything in the book of John or 1 John or any of those, you would know and you would be able to see the signs that are written on the wall everywhere. That He could come back at any moment. He could step out on a cloud this morning and say, that's enough. Church, come home. And if you're not part of the church, you're not going home. The question is, are you ready to meet Him this morning? Are you going to hear Jesus say, well done, my good and faithful? Or is He going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, if you don't know Him this morning, you can. That's good news, isn't it? I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you hang out with. I don't care how bad you think your life has been. There's nothing that the Lord can't save you from. I promise. There's nothing you can do that's too big for Him to handle. So I want to look at verses 4 and 5 especially today. So the first one is God's great love for us. You know, God loved us before we ever even knew who He was. God loved us when we didn't even want to acknowledge that He was God. Ephesians 1, 3 through 5 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. Now, some are going to read that and they're going to say, well, hold on. So, Jesus only chose a few to be adopted? Jesus only chose a few people to be saved? No, because my Bible says that it is God's will that no one perish, that all have eternal life. We have been predestined to serve Him, but it's your choice. Not only did He predestine everyone He created to serve Him, He also gave everyone He created free will. He allows you to make your own choices this morning. He allows you to walk your own path this morning. But He says, be careful because there's consequences. There's consequences for every choice you make. I was talking to them up here, and you know, one of the things that we hear people say all the time who don't know God and who want to always make a reason why they've not come to Him yet, a reason why they want to live out in the world, they say, well, if God was such a loving, merciful God, why does He send anybody to hell? And my congregation knows me very well now, and they know exactly what my next sentence is going to be. God doesn't send any of us to hell. Your bad choices send you to hell. Your choice not to serve Jesus sends you to hell. Your choice not to repent sends you to hell. Your choice to live like you want to live. Your choice to live on your terms is what sends you to hell, not God.
Preacher, brother.
God doesn't just walk around and look for people and say, yep, you, I want you in hell. He doesn't say, yep, you, take you. You go to hell right now. I didn't like you much anyhow.
No,
He loves everybody He created. He didn't make any mistakes. He didn't make any accidents. I don't care how you got here on earth. You were not a mistake.
Amen to that.
You were here because God wanted you here.
That's right.
And if you'll just make the choice and the decision to serve Jesus, then you can walk right on to heaven.
Right.
When we leave this world, we can go right to heaven. And there's not a sin too big that He hasn't forgiven. There's not a sin too big that the cross can't destroy. There's not a life that can't be changed by the cross and by the blood of Jesus and what He did for us. You see, if He didn't know us, how could He know that we need a Savior? You see, God didn't just decide at the spur of the moment to send Jesus to die on the cross. He wasn't sitting in heaven one day watching over His creation and said, oh no, they sinned, what do I do now? No, this plan was put into motion before the world was ever created. God knew before we were ever created that we were going to mess up and He was going to have to send His one and only Son, Jesus, to die on a cross. Y'all remember Abraham and Isaac, right? You remember Abraham had to walk up the Mount Moriah, the side of the hill, and God asked him to sacrifice His only son. And after he had been promised that God was going to make his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as numerous as the sands and the seas, and then He said, I need you to give me your son. And Abraham didn't blink. He said, son, let's go. And they started taking their journey. And I'm sure that maybe somewhere along the line when he was on that journey, he said, boy, do I really want to do this? God, you promised me. My wife's 90, I'm 100, and you gave us this child. He is our miracle child, and now you're going to take him away from me. How is my descendants ever going to... But it didn't stop him. He walked right up that hill. His son Isaac said, God, Daddy, where's the sacrifice? And he says, son, don't worry about it. God's going to provide it for us.
Yes, he did.
And so he tied him up and he put him on the altar and he had a knife and he had it in his hand and he was ready to just thrust it right in to his own son Isaac because he knew that even if he had to take Isaac's life, God could restore it. I know this morning that if your life has been taken from you, God can restore it.
That's right. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. If you don't know the story, well, when Abraham was just about ready to plunge it, an angel said, "Stop! Don't lay a hand on that boy." And he looked over in the thicket and, you know, a bunch of brush that was in there. And in that thicket was a ram that God had provided for him as a sacrifice. Now go thousands of years ahead to Jesus, and he's headed up his hill called Mount Calvary. And he's God's only son. The only difference was there's no ram in the thicket for God to substitute Jesus with. God has to, quote unquote, just thrust the knife right into his own son. God has to sit by and watch as his creation, the one he created to save us, as we hurled insults at him, as we beat him, as we kicked him, as we spit on him. And God had to watch it all take place. And you know, at one moment, a moment that had never taken place out of all eternity, and eternity is a long time, isn't it? We can't even fathom how long eternity is. We can't even fathom that God and Jesus was never created, that they just were always, they have always been. We'll know when we get there, but we can't fathom it just yet. So at that moment, for the first time in all eternity, God had to look away from his son because he was racked with our sin. He decided to put our sin on his shoulders and go up on that cross and be our sacrifice so that we could have life everlasting with him. He did it for us. He didn't do it for him. He didn't do it for fame. He didn't do it for glory. He did it because he loved us so much that he didn't want us to have to suffer the price of sin. And you know, if without Jesus, you have to suffer the price of sin. Without him, you're headed to an eternity of hell, and that never ends. Eternity is, there's no second chances. Your chance is today. So one thing I like to tell my congregation is, first of all, God didn't sit up in heaven and start reading Salvation 101 to come up with a solution. He had a solution before we ever knew it was a problem. Do you know that this morning that God has a solution to your problem before you ever even know it's a problem? Because he's been into your tomorrow. He's already been through all of your yesterdays, but he's been into your tomorrow. He's been into your next day. He's been into the next day. And he already has the path laid out that he wants you to take that will help you to get through any problem that you face. What is a surprise to us is never a surprise to God. Never. Jesus wasn't an afterthought. He was part of God's original plan.
Hallelujah.
Verse 4 goes on to say, God, who is rich in mercy. Do you know what mercy is? I'll give you the definition. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone by whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Do you understand that it is within God's power to punish every one of us for our sin? He could have just said, "I'm not sending my son." They're all going to hell for their sin. But he didn't. And God had every right to do so. God created us. It is within his power to punish us however he sees fit. God can use whatever means he wants to punish us. Mercy says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And I'd like to take that just a step further, because there are people who say, "Oh, I believe Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I don't live for him, but I believe in him." Well, you know what? Even Satan and his demons believe in Jesus. Even they tremble at his name. The difference between us and them is they can't serve him. They've already made their choice. They decided to serve the enemy. They decided to serve the world. They decided to serve Satan. They're already damned to hell. They don't have another chance. You, this morning, you have a chance. You can decide today not to choose to serve the world anymore, but to serve God. You can decide to change the whole trajectory of your life today. And say, I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of it always being hard. I'm tired of it always being on my own. You know, if you serve Jesus, you'll never be alone, because He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You'll never walk another step by yourself. He promises you that. And you'll never walk another step that He's not ordained for you. Because my Word says that He ordains every one of our steps. He knows exactly where we need to go to redeem our life. Then verse 5. Made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. Why, we were dead in our transgressions. Do you know that if you don't know Christ as your Savior this morning, you're dead spiritually? You may not be dead physically, and some of you might feel that that would be a better way this morning. But that's because you're dead spiritually, because you're dead in your transgressions, because all those things that you've decided to do that go against the will of God is destroying your life one moment at a time. But Christ, in His wonderful love, in His richness, in His mercy, in His grace, said, I will change your life now and forever if you'll just follow Me. If you'll just say, I'd rather serve Jesus than the world. He said, I'll fix your life. I'll change your life. I'll give you a life. You'll no longer be dead, but you'll be alive in Christ. And you'll have a life. Let me ask you something. Have you ever heard a dead person speak? Have you ever been, you ever sat beside a casket and sat there for a long time? Has that person inside that casket ever spoken to you? No, because dead people don't speak. Not only that, just like we can't hear dead people speak, God can't hear dead people speak. God can't hear spiritually dead people speak. I hear people say, oh, I pray every day. Well, that's good, but if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, it's just falling on deaf ears, because God can't hear you when you're dead in your transgressions. As a matter of fact, the only prayer God hears while you're a sinner is, Lord, I'm a sinner in need of Your salvation. Please come into my heart, become Lord of my life. I repent of my sins. Forgive me. He'll hear that. And then He'll hear you from that day forward. But He's not going to listen to you. He's not going to hear you while you're dead in your transgressions. Listen. Even while God cannot hear us because we're spiritually dead, He sees us. He knows what we do. His eye is always on us. Just like He said, His eye is on the sparrow. We're more important than any sparrow. God sees everything you do. And He sits up there and He waits longingly for you to say, God, I love You. God, I need You. I screwed my life up on my own. I need You now.
Yes, Lord.
And when you pray that prayer, He'll change everything about you and where you're headed. Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of a creature is in the blood. I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. See, even before we come to know Him, He has already put in a place His act of love. Jesus went to Calvary to die a criminal's death, even though He knew no sin. Because He knew you would need it. He knew that there was a debt that every one of us owed that we could never pay without Him. Because we don't have perfect blood. We don't have the perfect blood that was needed in a sacrifice in order to, even when they were sacrificing animals before Jesus, it had to be a perfect, spotless lamb. It had to be something great. It had to be something perfect. It had to be something spotless. But then Jesus came on the scene. He was spotless. And He didn't know no sin. And He didn't bow down to the devil. No, when the devil came to Him, He threw Scripture in the devil's face and the devil had to leave. So the rest of verse 5 says, it is by grace you have been saved. We're going to wrap it up with this. That means there is not one thing that you can do to earn salvation. You cannot buy your way into heaven. You cannot get to heaven through your grandma's relationship with Jesus. You can't do enough nice things to go to heaven. You can't smile enough to get to heaven without Jesus. You can't help enough old ladies across the street. You need Jesus. The only way to heaven is through humbling yourselves before God and admitting that you messed up your life doing things your own way and being ready to do things God's way. Repenting is you saying, God, I'm wrong and you're right. Repenting is saying, God, I messed up and I need you to help me. Repenting is walking away from our sin, walking toward the cross, not the other way around. Repenting is saying, I am no longer going to follow my old way of living. I'm going to live a new way because I have a new hope, and His name is Jesus. Repenting is you, and hear me, you turning away from your sinful life and walking in the opposite direction. There's no more doing it your way. There's no more living on your terms. You must submit to God and confess your sins and say, less of me and more of you, God. Yes. You have to say, I screwed up. I did it wrong. I don't want to live in hell for all eternity. I want to live for you, Jesus. I want to live in heaven. I want to spend my eternity with you. I want to spend my eternity with all those who knew you and passed on before me. I want to have a great reunion in the sky. I promise you and I guarantee you, I've heard people say this my whole life. Oh, I can't wait. When I get to hell, I'm going to crack open a beer and have one with the enemy. I'm sorry, but the enemy isn't going to be celebrating. And neither are you. If you decide not to serve Jesus as your Savior, then you're not celebrating when you leave this life and go to the next. There is no party. The only party is going to be in heaven. It's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we're going to be able to celebrate and we're going to have a party every day for the rest of eternity. And you know that in heaven there is no night. There is no darkness. There's always light and there's no sun because, no S-U-N sun, because the sun, S-O-N, is a light. And He's going to be the light. And that light will never burn out. You know, the sun, the S-U-N, is going to explode someday. It's just going to be gone. My Bible tells me that heaven and earth shall pass away. It also says, then I saw come down from the heavens a new heaven and a new earth. Because everything's going to be made new. Because, see, because of sin, even this world is dying. Because of sin that entered the world, even the earth is dying. Not just its people that are in it, but the earth itself is dying. And one day God's going to have to destroy it and make a whole brand new one that'll never die, that'll never feel bad, we'll never have sorrow, we'll never have pain, we'll never experience death. We'll never experience anyone ever leaving us again. We'll be there for all eternity. And I promise you, you'll never spend one boring moment in heaven. Hallelujah. Although you'll never spend a boring moment in hell either, but it ain't going to be fun. It ain't going to be enjoyable. Matter of fact, it says there'll be weeping, there'll be gnashing of teeth. You know what gnashing of teeth is? It means people are going to be eating people's faces. You've seen what they do when they're on those bath salts and they start eating people's faces off. You're going to do that for all eternity. And we're going to be mad at God, but you're never going to see God again because hell is hell because there is no God. Hell isn't hell just because of the fire. Hell isn't hell because of the demons. Hell is hell because God's not in it. Heaven is heaven because God is in it. And He'll never leave it. And you'll never leave it. As long as you know Him. As long as you are in His will. As long as you give your whole entire life to God. My Bible says He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you. He promises that. I'm going to sing one more song. And as I sing this song, this is a little different song for me. I've never really done one like this before, so bear with me. If it sounds bad, give me grace. As you hear this song and as you listen to this song, there's an altar right here. Someone will come with you and they'll pray with you and for you this morning. Jesus is here. His Holy Spirit is here. And He says, come unto Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know you'll never rest until you know Jesus.
Life gets me down. This world can be a lonely place to be. I wonder, oh God, why. And I try to analyze all the possibilities. There is no reason or rhyme. It's out of my hands, it's turned. And I just fall on my knees. When my strength is nearly gone, and I feel so all alone, I just fall.
And so could you.
I fall on my knees. By those old memories, I want to run away because I am afraid to face reality. But there is a secret place where I'm overtaken by grace, and I just fall on my knees. God hears my plea. He knows my need. When my strength is so all alone, I just fall.
Opportunity, you can fall on your knees today. You can cry out to the Savior because He wants to know you intimately. He wants to know you personally. He wants to have a relationship with you. That's why He died for you. That's why He went to the cross. He didn't just die for the world. He died for you. When He was hanging on that cross, He looked out over time and He saw you. He saw your face. And He knew your sin. And He knew that it was more than you could handle yourself. He knew that the debt that you had to pay was more than you could ever pay on your own. So He said, I'll go to the cross. I'll suffer what it takes. I'll make the sacrifice. I'll be the sacrifice. I won't ask anyone else to do it for me. I'll do it myself. Amen. You know why He was hanging on that cross? He could have called 10,000 angels to come and destroy the world. But His love for you kept Him there. It wasn't the soldiers. It wasn't the nails. It wasn't anything other than His love for you that kept Him up on that cross. Father, thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You that You didn't get off the cross. Thank You that You decided to stay there so that we could have life eternal. Father, I pray in the next few moments that, Lord, You would just speak to every heart that's here. And I pray that the most hard, the most calloused heart would be softened by You this morning, and that they would desire to run to the cross and accept the gift that's been given just for them. We love You and we praise You in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen and amen. You're dismissed.